keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." At this time, our worship team would like to share a special, so you can be seated. How many have been looking forward to tonight? I think I can raise two hands on that one. It's a great opportunity for us to worship the Lord our God and to worship Jesus Christ for the sacrifice that was given. As He set aside all of His glory to come as a human being for us on our account because we need a Savior. Amen. My text tonight was taken from the angel's message to the shepherds, and I want to talk about the shepherds tonight. And the title of the message for our this evening is, "Why the Shepherds?" Why the shepherds? Why not anybody else? Why the shepherds? And I think you'll find it interesting as we go through it tonight. Have you ever been on a school team? Now, you have to think back. Some of you have to think back a lot farther than me, maybe. Try to think back when you're in school, and there was always one kid that never got picked. You guys, how many relate to that? There was always one that never got picked. Well, if it was you, I'm sorry. But there was always one that never got picked. The teams got picked, and you go, "Oh, I suppose I have to have this one because they're left over, and everybody has to be on a team." Well, guess what? Welcome to the life of the shepherds in the day of Palestine when Jesus was on earth. They were what nobody wanted. They were the leftovers of society. And I have a couple of excerpts here I want to read to you from an article that was written by Randy Alcorn called "The Shepherd's Status." And I think it'll give you kind of an insight on where we're going to go tonight. In Christ's day, shepherds stood on the bottom rung of the Palestinian social ladder. They shared the same unenviable status as tax collectors and dung sweepers. During the time of the patriarchs, shepherding was a noble occupation. When the 12 tribes of Israel migrated to Egypt, they encountered a lifestyle foreign to them. The Egyptians were agriculturalists. As farmers, they despised shepherding because sheep and goats mean death to crops. In the course of 400 years, the Egyptians prejudiced the Israelites' attitude toward shepherding. Some shepherds earned their poor reputations, but others became victims of cruel stereotype. The religious leaders maligned the shepherd's good name. Rabbis banned pasturing sheep and goats in Israel except on desert plains. And to buy wool or milk or a kid from a shepherd was forbidden on the assumption that it would be stolen property. Shepherds were officially labeled sinners, a technical term for a class of despised people. Dr. Joachim Jeremias, a New Testament theologian, documents the fact that shepherds were deprived of all civil rights. They could not fulfill judicial offices or be admitted in court as witnesses. So now we go back to the Christmas story in the text that I just read, and the angels come down to a group of men who are shepherds. And now you ask yourself this question with that in mind: why the shepherds? Why them? Of all people that God could have revealed the coming of His Son, that the angels heralded His coming, why did He choose shepherds? And we may look at that whole scenario with shepherding and the history of shepherding as it came through to the day that Jesus was alive. And certainly society had taken on their own roles, and shepherding had come from a very noble estate. In fact, they traded in sheep and goats back in the days of Abraham. That was part of the wealth of a man. To a place where they weren't even accepted to come into the city. People had to go out of the city to buy their livestock of sheep and goats. And so we see that something has happened in the whole thing, and God has seen this all transpire through time. And then He inspires David in the 23rd Psalm to start out this psalm this way: The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we wonder if the rabbis and the Pharisees of that day wonder if David got it wrong, because certainly there was a more noble lineage to come from than God to express himself as a shepherd. And we think about God, and we think about his majesty, his glory, his regal nature, and certainly there's things about God we'll never understand. And yet he chooses this way to come. And I think when I think about the shepherds, and I think about a group of people who were the least likely to observe the angelic coming. Now, it doesn't say that those angels were noticed by anybody else, just the shepherds that were on the desert plains that night. Now, tradition says that these shepherds weren't just ordinary shepherds. They were shepherds that were hired by the Levites to raise lambs for sacrifices. That's tradition. And these shepherds were special, and they were outside the city. And whenever they would have a lamb that was worthy for sacrifice, they would take that lamb, they would wash it in salt, and they would swaddle that lamb so it wouldn't injure itself and bruise its flesh. It gives new significance to Jesus being swaddled and laid in a manger, doesn't it? And as soon as they had a lamb that was worthy for sacrifice, they would do is they would light a flame on the top of the hill to let the chief priests and Levites know, hey, there was a lamb born tonight who's worthy of sacrifice. So in the same way, God lights his lamp in the sky to show the supreme sacrifice that was born this evening. Tradition. But as the shepherds were there in that darkest of the evening, and I want to back up to our text for just a minute, and I want to go to verse number 9. It says, "Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid." Wouldn't you be afraid? First of all, you're thinking, okay, I get angels. I get the fact that they come, but this angel is coming to me, and why is this angel coming to me? What did I do wrong that this angel is coming to me? And you can imagine the fear in them as they sought for a reason why this angel had come, what his message was going to be, what was going to transpire, and the first thing the angel says is what? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I would dare say that if any of us alive today would have an encounter with an angel, fear would be among those emotions that we would experience. Amen? If I had one of those regal guys that was like 9 or 10 feet tall standing in front of me with a sword in his hand, I'd say, yep, I'm humbled. I am undone, just like Isaiah said in Isaiah. He said, I am undone. And so we look at the angel, and he comes, and he stands before these shepherds, and these shepherds aren't believing what they're seeing. And all of a sudden, not only the angel comes, but the glory of the Lord shines around them. And the angel says, do not be afraid. You know, there are three, I'll get back to that scripture in just a minute as I close the message, but I want to talk about a couple of reasons why I think the shepherds were chosen to be the messengers of this good news. Number one, they were humbled by the fact the angels came to them. Could you imagine, let's go back to the schoolyard scene when you were never picked for a team, and yet somebody would tell you, you know, we want you to be the captain of this team. What would you say? Not me. Pick somebody else, don't pick me. Even though it would be awesome for you to be able to be a captain and incredible for you as an opportunity, yet you'd say, not me, pick somebody else. And I'm sure the angels were humbled by, the shepherds were humbled by the angels' declaration to them. I think that they were so surprised that they were the ones least worthy to receive the angel's cry of a Savior. On the other hand, the Pharisees, who were self-consumed in their pride, in their religion, and all their practices, and that was actually the center of them in society, was their pride about being religious leaders. You know about the Pharisees, right? They're so fair, you see, right? What they probably would have done was justify the fact that they were worthy because they received the message. And they would use it as a feather in their cap saying, see, the Messiah, he appeared to us because we're right and you're wrong. We're important and you're not. You know, they held all the cards in their society. They could declare who was clean, who was unclean. They could interpret the law, tell them who was a sinner, who was not a sinner. They could teach the people they wanted. They could leave out people they wanted, and they did a very good job of that. And I think God knew if he gave the message of the Messiah to the Pharisees, they would take it, and they would tout it as their own. But the shepherds were humbled by the fact the angel came to them. The second reason, I think, is because they couldn't keep it a secret. Let me ask you this question. If you were a shepherd and you were sitting on the hill and you saw what the angel did before you and the message he had and the glory of all the angels singing around you, and you went down to the city and you saw the baby in the manger just like they said you would you tell somebody? Absolutely, you'd tell. You'd tell everybody that you saw. And here's the problem. Their testimony wasn't any good. Remember, they couldn't be allowed in a court of law. So why would you believe a shepherd? He's an evil, lying, thieving sinner. And yet God chooses the shepherd to herald the message of the coming Messiah. The Pharisees? Oh, I have an inclination that they might have taken that knowledge and they might have hid it and only revealed it to the good old boys. Only revealed it to the ones that were worthy to receive the message of the coming Messiah. You know what? Gnosticism, which was really a real proponent in that day, pervasive in the society, was alive when Jesus was here. And I think Gnostics were part of that society. They held that inner knowledge, that inner wisdom, and they only let it out to people who would either pay for it or part of their group, their clan. So instead of the message being kept into a closed society of prideful people, the message went out to everybody that Jesus was born, that a Messiah was born. The third thing I think I see is there that God is showing us by this symbolism that he reaches the unreachable. These shepherds were outside the city of Jerusalem for a reason. They weren't there by coincidence. They were forced to be there because of their occupation. And so many people today feel like they're not on the inner circle. The Pharisees were on the inner circle. They were what's happening in Israel, in Jerusalem. Everybody looked to them for all their guidance and wisdom, and the shepherds were kept outside. And God is proving to us that he reaches the unreachable. And there are people alive today who think they are unreachable for God. They are the unreachable. They're the ones that God can't touch, the ones that God can't minister to. But I think God in his mercy tells us this message and tells us through the shepherds that everyone has a chance at receiving this good message. I'm going to close with verse number 14. The song of the angels, as Luke records it, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Another version says, goodwill to those whom the Lord's favor rests. Now imagine the revelation to the shepherds as they realize that this angel was wishing them a blessing by a God who wants them, who wants their peace, who thinks they're important enough that he's going to give them his favor. Imagine what that did to them when they realized that they were the only recipients of God's peace, of God's goodwill, and God was making the declaration through them. And as they told the story over and over, I can hear what they're saying. You're not going to believe what just happened to us. You're not going to believe it. God is my witness. And clearly that would have been true in this case. But as the Lord was their witness, as he declared it through the angels, a Messiah had come. And not only that, but God was promising an era of peace and his goodwill toward men. And you and I tonight benefit from God's goodwill. We benefit from his favor. And I will tell you the fact tonight that there's not one of us that's alive today who have ever experienced total separation from God. Jesus did for us at Calvary so that we wouldn't have to. But since the time that Jesus was born, man's been looking to God for his favor and for his peace. In 1914, I read this morning in our daily bread. How many read that on a regular basis? 1914, World War I. On Christmas carols were heard in both trenches of opposing sides. And in a sign of peace, they all got up from their trenches and began to shake hands on that Christmas day. You see, God's peace, God's love, God's joy, his presence can overcome any chaos, any hatred this world can dish out. Isn't that a great promise? Imagine what Jesus was being born into. The nation of Israel that was being overrun by Rome. They had no rights as a nation when it came to political things. They were governed by their economy, by their military, and by their geography. Rome had taken over everything. Jesus was born in a very chaotic time in Israel, and he brings peace. Today, we live in a chaotic time. But guess what? Jesus brings peace. And he also brings the favor of our Heavenly Father. And for all of us tonight, for all of us that are here, that offer goes out. Just like it did for the shepherds. Those that we thought were the least worthy to receive this message, they were given the opportunity of a lifetime to hear an angel and to hear him singing. But God offers that same thing to you tonight through his scripture and through the Holy Spirit that speaks to your heart, saying that offer is open for all tonight. My peace, my favor. And following the service, if you want to know more about Jesus and if you haven't asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, I want to give you opportunity to do that. What a great night to do that on Christmas Eve. So if you want to do that tonight, I'd be glad to pray with you. I'm just going to hang out in the front of the church just for a little while. I love to get you to know my Savior, my Lord, who brought me total peace and whose favor rests on me as his child. Let's all bow in prayer, shall we, tonight. Father, thank you that this time has been given for us to reflect upon such a momentous occasion, never to be repeated in history, never to be undone or redone or improved. But just as at night those shepherds were in the fields, you turned their world upside down. And God, you mean to do the same thing for us today. That in the midst of all we experience in this life, Lord God, there is a place for us to be totally changed by you and to experience something fresh, something real, something meaningful and abundant in you, and something everlasting. So I pray for each one here tonight, Lord God, and I thank you for them coming tonight to be part of our service. And Lord God, I thank you that you have given great encouragement to us through the Christmas story once again. But Father, I don't want us to leave here the same way we came. I want us to know you in a greater way and have a greater appreciation for all that you've done. Not just for the giving of your Son in his life, but also in his death as well. For he did come, being born to die for us. And Father, for this I thank you, and I give you praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.